if you don't mind, to turn with me to the book of Judas. The book of Jude. You know, before I started studying the book of Jude, I didn't know that that was his real name, Judas. But because what Judas had done to Jesus, Jude no longer wanted to go by that name. And I don't quite blame him, I don't think. I don't think I want to either. But I figured I'd see if I could get some of you on that. It's not a long epistle. We're not going to get through the whole thing tonight, I don't think. But it's a good read. It's a warning for, you know, back then when he was writing this, there were some churches and some false teachers. And Jude was writing this letter to try to warn about that. So we're going to start with verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. He calls himself the servant there. And what is a servant? What's a hired hand, or, you know, someone that helps you do things? And it struck me in verse 1, he says, "And brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called." Why wouldn't he have called himself the brother of Jesus or the half-brother of Jesus? He was showing something that we don't see a lot of times, especially in this world. Jude was showing a little bit of humility, a little bit of humbleness. And he didn't feel, you know, Jude, just like his Jesus' brother James, didn't believe that Jesus was who he said he was before the resurrection. And that, as I was reading this, I kind of tried to put myself in James and Jude's position. Even though they saw all these works and they saw Jesus, they heard Jesus' words, they didn't really believe until they saw him alive after he was crucified. And I thought to myself, would I have believed? Would I have been able to walk that walk with Jesus and watch him do all those things and stand firm? Because we all know that, what, 10 out of the 11 disciples left when Jesus was crucified. They left and went back fishing and went and done the things that they did before Jesus. And I don't think that I'm any different than what those other 10 would have been. Verse 2, "Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied." And this sounds a lot like Paul's epistles whenever he's, "Grace be unto you, peace and love." That's what that verse 2 reminded me of that. Verse 3. "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation," I gave all diligence to write unto you about the common salvation. You know, there's Christians all over the world, all over this country, all different nationalities. You know, Brother Steve is in Belize right now, and they're ministering and they're visiting other Christians. But we have one thing in common: the salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And that's what Jude is trying to say here. I gave all diligence to write unto you about the common salvation. "It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith." Who knows what it means for him to say to earnestly contend for the faith? Anybody can answer if they know. He wants them to fight for the faith. To contend with, for, means to fight for. And that's what we were talking about earlier, is there's lots of false teachers in this time, and there's lots of false teachers in today's day and time as well. And Jude's trying to remind them here, look, we have to stand up and we have to fight for the truth. We have to fight for that common salvation to let people know that there's only one way into heaven, that is faith through Christ Jesus. You know, the devil is not going to leave churches and he's not going to leave Christians alone. You know, that's one thing that I learned. Even I was preaching at Mount Hebron and I asked a question and Danny Ayers stood up and he said, you know, if you're going in the same path as the devil, he has no reason to pay attention to you. But if you're fighting against him and you're working against him, that's when the tough gets going, as we say. And that's 100% the truth. And that's what Jude is trying to say here. Earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. You know, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane in John 17, he prayed to God the Father that the Spirit would help the disciples remember everything that he had taught them. And I got to thinking about that too, is, you know, they didn't have a Bible like we have today where they can flip through whichever page and read Jesus' words. And, you know, we covet those red words in our Bible. We look at those words and we should take them very seriously. But they didn't have that. So Jesus was praying, Lord, Father, help them through the Spirit remember what I have taught them and what I've told them. And that's what, and it was given to them one time. Now, Jesus taught the same thing multiple times sometimes, but Jude's saying here it was once delivered unto the saints. Verse 4, for there are certain men crept in unawares. What does the word crept mean? To sneak, right? And that's what he's trying to say. You know, Paul talks about in Ephesians 6:12 that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, that we wrestle against principalities and against powers and evil in high places, wicked spiritual wickedness in high places, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. The grace, and we know that grace is unmerited favor. We know that grace is us getting something that we don't deserve. But what does the word lasciviousness, they were trying to, the way I read it, they were trying to tell people that they could do whatever it was they wanted to do. They could live a life however they wanted to live. And it didn't affect their salvation. It didn't affect their relationship with God. And denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, one way to deny Jesus and what He has done for us is to not take into account or live by the red words that He gave us in the Bible. Or to not be the light that Matthew talks about in chapter 15, verse 16. That is a way to live against Jesus' teachings. And they were denying that Jesus was the one true salvation. And lasciviousness too, that's one thing that I wrote down that I forgot to mention. It was sin without shame. Who in here, you know, Brother Steve talks about it all the time, is premeditated sin versus non-premeditated sin. But whenever I sin, I know that the Lord convicts me for that and I feel bad for that. But that word means sin without feeling shame about that sin. Verse 5, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And we know that God delivered the people out of Egypt. They got to the border and what? They sent spies. Oh my, it's exactly as you described it. It's beautiful. But then what happened? 10 people, oh, we can't do this. 2 people says we can, and then what? The majority votes, and they decide not to go. And then 40 years, they wandered. And then they died off in that 40 years. And that Jude is trying to, he's giving an example here of what happens when you don't listen to what God is trying to tell you to do. Verse 6, and the angels which kept not their first estate. What was the angels' first estate? Heaven. But left their own habitation. He hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. You know, I preached on Ephesians 2 in Bible camp. And, you know, there was a lot of talk about hell there. And I think that we should talk about hell, obviously, because it's a scary place. But there's a second death where you're completely and totally separated from God. And that's the lake of fire. And that's what he's saying. I think it's Revelations 11 where we learn of the judgment of the angels that are going to be in everlasting chains under darkness. And when I read whenever Satan was kicked out of heaven, that one third of because he was an archangel much like Michael. He was a leader of the angels. When he was kicked out of heaven, one third of the angels in heaven went with him to be in hell. And Jude, he was reminding them about the people that once followed God but had turned away from him and what happens when you do that. Verse 7. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh and set forth an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. You know, our God is a good God, but He's a just God. And everything that He says in this Bible, I know 100% fact He's going to do. And when He says He's going to bring vengeance and eternal fire down on the angels that left heaven, that's what God will do. Verse 8, likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. You know, I looked up a little bit what he meant there by filthy dreamers that defile the flesh. And back then, much like today, there were people that would have these dreams, and they would go to the churches, and they would go to the Christians, and they would say, hey, I got a revelation from God. God has told me that I need to tell you this. And I don't know about you all, but if somebody ever says that, I try to kind of steer away from that because we know that God does not audibly come to us and speak to us. But that's what the filthy dreamers were claiming to have revelations from God. Verse 9, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. You know, when he says contending there, he's talking about the same exact word. He's using the same word that he did in verse 3 about contending for the faith. And he was fighting with the devil about Moses' body. You know, God took Moses and buried him where nobody could find him. Because God knew what would happen if they did find Moses' body? Because more than likely, if they did find Moses' body, they would have what? They would have mummified the body, and then they would have carried it around for how many years, and they would have ended up worshiping Moses rather than God. And you know, we know that because of the the bronze serpent, right? What happened with the staff? They started to worship it and the powers that God gave it rather than the reason that God had given it to them. The cross. You know, sometimes we worship the cross a little more than we should. You know, the cross is, and the brazen serpent, they're symbols of what God has done for us, not things that we should be worshiping. Durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." Durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." You know, I can imagine Michael, the archangel, and Satan fighting. And Michael saying, "Okay, God, it's yours because I can't deal with Satan by myself." We know that we can't deal with Satan by ourselves, but does that give you any indication of how much we need God in our lives? If Michael, the archangel in heaven, can't defeat Satan himself, then that should tell you how much we need God to help defeat Satan while we're here. You know, Satan has to submit to the Lord, and we have to submit to the Lord. Verse 10. "But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally, as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain." You know, we know that God required a blood sacrifice. And what happened? Abel's sacrifice was acceptable to God and Cain's was not. Cain ended up killing Abel. But the underlying meaning there is that Cain tried to change the truth. And we know that we can't change God's truth. God's truth is His truth and we cannot do anything to change that. And we can't change what God has given us to do. We have to do exactly what He has told us to do. "And ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, for greed, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor." Now Kor, we know the story of Kor. He thought Aaron and Moses had too much power. And God what? Told him, bring two items. And he brought two items. And God said, what? "Moses, step aside." And what happened? The earth opened up and Korah was swallowed by the earth. And then all of his followers were struck by lightning. So he's given us, Jude has given us several examples here of apostasy or trying to go against what God has told us to do. Now, I'm almost done here. This was a short study. But, you know, we have to think that do we always, even as a church, do we always do what God has laid out for us to do? And I know that I don't. I don't always do what God has laid on my heart. I don't always do what I read in the Bible that God has told us to do. But we have something that saves us from the damnation that we deserve. Because we know that grace is a gift given to us for free because we do deserve hell. Every single person sitting in this church right now deserves to go to hell. But because Jesus Christ died on the cross, because, and you know, without God's grace, salvation's not possible. You know, this life is not possible. Us going to heaven is not possible. Because God loved us so much, He gave us the grace to have faith in Jesus Christ so that we could be saved. So, tonight, in this study, you know, God was trying to just lay on my heart and hopefully on your heart that there's examples in the Bible that He's given us, because this is not written to us. Now, this was written to Christians. If you're not saved tonight, this message is not for you. And it wasn't for unsaved people back then either. This message is for Christians and Christians alone. But it's easy for you to become a Christian, and it's easy for you to get in this church family because Jesus, God made it so easy. You know, He talked about coming to Him as a child. He made it. And you know, that's the thing about salvation. And that's part of the reason that some people find it so hard to believe, because it is so easy. So if everybody can stand, as we have a song of invitation, I pray tonight as a church that we can take heed of these warnings that Jude is trying to give us. Look, he's given us all these examples of people that once followed God and then turned their back on Him, and the things that happened to them after they did that. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly and Gracious Father, we bow before You tonight to pray over this invitation, Lord, that there's anybody here tonight that does not know You as their Lord and Savior, that they will make that commitment, they will step forward, and they will take You into their heart, Lord. We thank You so much for the many blessings You've given us. We thank You for the Word tonight, Lord, and for Your Son, Jesus, in His precious and holy name we pray. Amen.